KNOM Profiles.
A few weeks ago, Nome got a new shed built out by the city landfill. It was set up to take a few more types of household waste, part of a growing push to recycle more stuff. Glenn Jones yanks on a ripcord, warming up Nome's new can crusher. Jones is the operator for Nome's landfill, and the crusher is a diesel-powered hydraulic press that was built to flatten 55-gallon steel drums down to just an inch. Now, after some tinkering, Jones has got it squeezing soda and beer cans into big squares a little over 2 feet wide.
And it had crushed down to about 4 inches deep of cans.
The Nome landfill recently set up a new recycling facility. Nothing fancy, just some big plastic totes inside of a little wooden shed. But it means residents can start dropping off a lot more stuff to be recycled.
Glass, aluminum cans, and cardboard. There's 3 different bays in there to sort out through it.
Cardboard is a biggie. There's more and more of it coming into Nome, partly from the steady rise in shipments brought in by the grocery stores in town. Sometimes, Jones says, a truck will drop off a load that's 3/4 cardboard. If you bury it all in a landfill, it takes up a ton of room, and it isn't cost-effective to recycle unless it's squished into super-dense bales that can be shipped out to processing facilities in the lower 48. Jones recently got some medium-sized balers up and running. The idea is to eventually put some behind the grocery stores so they can bale on site rather than trucking loads of cardboard out to the dump each day.
So we're here at the Nome City landfill, and as you can see, there's signs all over telling people where to separate their wood, their aluminum cans, glass.
Anama Saito is the regional backhaul and recycling specialist for Kowarik, the regional nonprofit based in Nome.
Yeah, most people don't think about where their trash goes once they put it in their trash can, but we're in the business of figuring out where it goes after that and where the best place for it to go will be.
Saito's main job is coordinating with communities around the region to redirect anything that could be hazardous away from landfills and towards a staging area in Nome.
Most of them are diverting aluminum cans and plastic bottles, and then electronic waste and lead acid batteries. Those are the main items, along with fluorescent light bulbs, which contain mercury.
The idea is to get anything that's potentially hazardous out of the communities and recycle everything else. For the last 4 years, Bering Air has flown recyclables in free of charge.
Bering Air has been a wonderful partner, helping us to bring things in from the villages to Nome for free. And Kowarik receives them there at Bering Air and brings them in, consolidates, and then we send those Connex vans full of the recyclables from the villages out to Seattle through a generous donation from Alaska Logistics, who helps us transport those cans down to Seattle.
Kowarik's model is a modified version of the backhaul system Nome set up. It's the same principle of shipping out the worst waste, financed through grants and generous logistical support from regional transporters, but the tendrils extend out a little bit further. It works, but it's a fragile system that depends on everything going right among a web of participants. But recycling in a hub community off the road system has some, let's say, interesting challenges. For one, everything is far away, which means the fuel burned for transport often outstrips gains made from repurposing stuff. Saito says it also makes it expensive to transport old newspaper and bales of cardboard back out.
When material is brought here into Nome, it usually has a one-way ticket, and it usually will end up at the landfill or in people's yards if they're like I am.
And the small population, relatively speaking, makes operating at a large scale next to impossible. Nome is basically straddling two different recycling systems and borrowing a bit from each of them. The urban waste management strategy is to bury lots of stuff in landfills and consolidate all the reusable goods for processing at recycling facilities. It works financially because of the high volume. You can only cover costs if you're sending tons, literally tons, of cans and cardboard for reconstitution. In a region of around 10,000 people with high transport costs, that approach only goes so far. The indigenous model, by contrast, is to locally salvage everything useful, then discard the rest in a body of water. Saito says that worked when all the waste was organic.
The practice of doing that today, of course, has to change because the materials that we're using are, the majority of them are plastic.
Nome's evolving strategy is to keep everything that isn't toxic and find a use for it. Glass is the best example. We like recycling glass. It's pretty, it's heavy, and we've been taught to think of it as reusable. But, Saito says, the heft and volume in a bottle makes the carbon footprint of shipping it out huge. Plus, glass is stable, so it's not doing much harm if it's left alone in the dirt. Saito and Jones want to go a step further, though, and get a glass crusher. It would smash up bottles into smooth shards to be used like gravel, or even as decoration, because, frankly, it's kind of pretty. The point is, glass would stay in Nome and get reprocessed to do new work.
So here we are at the City of Nome recycle van. And people can come in here.
After the dump, Saito gave me a tour of the Connex container near Anvil Square that serves basically as a collection center for Nome's recycling program.
It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and people can come in here and drop off their newspapers, their shredded paper, office paper, aluminum cans. We have a box for toner. You can put your electronic waste in here, compact fluorescent light bulbs, or the long skinny light bulbs, fluorescent light bulbs.
And, they just started collecting cardboard, too. When I visited, it was piled high at the far corner of the van, but they still can't take steel cans, like the ones, say, for tuna fish or a can of peas. And one thing they definitely can't take is bags of garbage.
Well, we definitely don't want trash. Oftentimes, people just bring trash here. We're not taking plastic bottles from the community yet. We're not taking tin.
And though Nome's getting more organized, engaged, and serious about recycling, at a municipal level, there still aren't many resources directed towards it. And in fact, there's no staff designated to handle recycling. Every other week, teens from the Nome Youth Facility come in and sort material by hand. And other than that, it's mostly a labor of love from volunteers.
Right. Tell me about that.
So there's nobody that has been hired and designated to take care of the recycle center. So it's all being done on a volunteer basis. And really, the more people want to recycle, the more it is to keep up with. And without anybody designated to this, it's hard to keep up with the materials. So.
Which, Saito is quick to point out, is amazing and generous and a total testament both to the community and to people's commitment to responsible waste management. But it might not be a totally sustainable arrangement. It depends on coordinating among a changing web of partners, and if a volunteer leaves or if a corporate sponsor decides they can't afford to donate logistical help anymore, then plans could get scrambled. Rural recycling still has a long way to go. But, Saito says, the interest is there.
Almost daily I have people asking me, you know, how come you're not recycling this material? Or how come you're not taking more of that? And really right now we're operating at full capacity. We don't really...
Like a lot of things in rural Alaska, expanded recycling is going to depend on cooperation and resourcefulness. And maybe just a few more diesel-powered hydraulic crushing machines. For K&OM Profiles, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Profiles is a production of KNOM, News and Public Affairs.